Welcome in, second hour, Robbie and Rexo, 102.5, 106 here, the game. Joe Rexo to here, Nick Keyser producing, and Paul Kaharsky in this week for Robbie Stanley.
I am here courtesy of Nashville Grass 365, locally owned and operated for nearly 10 years. Check out amazing examples of their work with synthetic turf on Instagram at grass365_Nashville.
We're in the game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and we are very happy to bring in our next guest. Friend of the show, friend of mine, co-worker of mine at The Athletic, David Ubben. How are you, David?
I'm doing good. It's been an interesting offseason, but the season is crawling near, so looking forward to it.
Are you sad overall, like with everything that's happened? Because I keep going back to that.
Yeah, that's the overwhelming emotion, I think. I think one of the things that I've always loved about college football is the regional identity and the diversity of scheme. And if you watch a Pac-12 game and you watch a ACC game and you watch a Big Ten game and you watch an SEC game, they're all very different. Whereas you watch the NFL, it all kind of looks the same. I like the NFL, but that uniqueness of college football, that clear regional identity, is gone right now. They've sort of watered it down, and when you're watching now Big Ten games and SEC games, I think they're going to look pretty similar in a lot of ways. And there'll always be a little bit more diversity of scheme in college, but that regionalism and those rivalries and how much those things mean, it's sad to see the sport sort of devolve into something that is not what most of us fell in love with. And, part of me wonders, how much of this is just getting old and yelling at clouds and yelling at kids to get off my lawn. But I don't like it. I don't like it. And I'm sad for, college football as it was in, 1998 or 2000, where it just was a lot different, and I think I liked that version of the sport a lot better than this one.
I agree. Other than that, some of the hypocrisy has been chipped away, and players can get paid over the table now, things like that. I mean, there have been improvements, mm-hmm. but sure, I'm with you, and I do wonder, David, where it's going in so many ways, including, I thought Chris Vanini had a good column for us about, kind of looking at, okay, so at what point do you start to look at mouths to feed and how much value you're adding to the enterprise? And because honestly, I've kind of blown that off. I've always thought, David, these presidents still ultimately make decisions, and the presidents love saying, we've got Vanderbilt, we've got Northwestern, we got, Cal and Stanford, but who the heck is going to say that now? But I don't know. I'm starting to embrace the idea that at some point, if television is going to run everything, then why wouldn't brands or programs that aren't really going to compete for championships be relegated, for lack of a better term?
Well, yeah, I've long believed that it was a matter of when, not if. But as we started to see these moves in realignment, that didn't really make sense. I've talked to administrators, here and there about it over the years, and you get kind of mixed things. But the reality is that these programs have gotten addicted to the money, it's very similar to, when boosters control athletic departments and they make bad coaching hires because the booster stands on the table for someone and says, we're doing this or no more money anymore. And it's the exact same situation. And so right now, the SEC is like $8 million a year, something like that, behind the Big Ten. A lot can happen in 10 years, right? A lot can happen in 15 years. Let's say the SEC, for whatever reason, the Big Ten with this over-the-air deal, people don't realize this, but the Big Ten is going to have a giant game on Fox, a giant game on CBS, and a giant game on NBC every single week. Meanwhile, ESPN is, going to be dominated by the SEC's games largely. So let's say that that gap grows over the next 10 years, and the presidents and the schools are looking around saying, well, how do we catch up to the Big Ten? And they hand you a pair of scissors and say, hey, go cut Vanderbilt's string and we'll give you all their shares, you know, and we'll give everybody, you know, another $8 million a team. You really think schools are going to not do that? Like, yes, they're going to do it. And there's this insatiable need to keep up with the Joneses and do whatever it takes. And that's how you get a league with Washington and Rutgers and Maryland and UCLA, because it doesn't make sense, but everybody's got to have as much money as the next guy.
David Ubben from The Athletic, our guest. I'm wondering how much you feel like every administrator, you know, connected to any school involved in any of this is exposed to his people. Washington State President Kirk Schultz writes a letter to Washington State people, and he says he's shocked that Washington and Oregon left. Is it a good strategy to admit you're clueless about what unfolds in your conference and to count on that as cover?
Well, I think it's sort of different. I think in this situation, you know, the Pac-12, I think they really thought that this was going to hold together, Friday morning. You know, it sounded like, I don't think he shocked big picture, but I think in the micro with all the meetings that they were having, you know, it sounded like they were going to find the grain of rice and hold the thing together and figure out next steps with the Pac-9, you know, on Friday, and then that didn't happen. But ultimately, I think the administrators, I do wonder if now they can stop saying that all these decisions were made with student-athlete welfare in mind.
They won't, but they should.
Yeah.
A long time. You know, I remember the last few rounds of realignment, especially in 2010, and especially, not necessarily the last couple of years, but for a long time it was, well, everything we do, we keep the athletes in front of mind. And then that was a big talking point when Texas decided not to do the Pac-16, as they legitimately were like, the travel's too much on these kids. We can't do this. Well, now... You know, football is just not that big of a deal when it comes to student-athlete welfare, because you're traveling mostly on the weekends. There'll be some midweek games. Like, everybody focuses on football, and they'll be fine. Like, football, it's not that disruptive. People can make a big deal, and I think it doesn't make sense when you have Rutgers and USC in the same league. But it's not that much of a strain on football. It's a shorter season, games on the weekends, all that stuff. But pretty much every other non-revenue sport, I mean, it's insane. So... in that sense, I do think the administrators have been exposed, that they've wanted to pretend it's about other things. But they're very good at pretending. They've been pretending they're a nonprofit enterprise for a decade or two now. I think that they have been exposed in the last couple of years that, hey, that TV revenue and our bottom line, that's the bottom line, and that controls everything. And any suggestion to the contrary, I've seen a lot less lying through their teeth recently. It seems like everybody's sort of given up the game and said, like, hey, we got to make this money. These moves were talked about in a very, very different way, like 10 years ago, 5 years ago. People seem to be a little bit more explicit about it now.
Yeah, well, you mentioned non-revenue sports. Just really, any sport other than football, David. First of all, think about like Cal, Stanford, or any of these schools that are now going to have way less money coming in, however it looks, wherever they go or whatever, right? I still think, if they're going to be serious about it, they're going to try to put as much of that money into football, right? Like, you have to be competitive in football. So those sports are the ones that are really going to suffer at places like that, which is like, you think about Stanford and the excellence they've had in so many sports, for example. It's the Pac-12 in general. So my question for you is, to the point, because you're right, football, you know, it's 2 hours more of a flight on a Friday. I mean, that's they're not affected. Everybody else is drastically affected. Is there any pathway that you can see where there is football separated from everything else, and everything else goes back to sanity and, you know, regional rivalries and actual conferences that make sense, et cetera, et cetera?
Not soon, but I do think that there might be a breaking point where, you know, after 3 or 4 years, people just realize this is too much. Like, our athletes' grades are suffering. We're getting complaints. You're asking a lot you know, cross-country travel on a weekday, you know, especially for, like, you know, softball plays like 60 games a year, you know, baseball kind of the same thing. You're asking a lot. And so, you know, I could see it. There's so many hurdles to get to that point. That makes a lot of sense that you sort of break football away and let them do the stupid conference thing and then reconstitute, you know, all the other conferences in a more regional basis that is cheaper for everyone, makes a lot more sense. Because we've seen this before. You know, Notre Dame, their sports are pretty split up in a lot of ways. UConn does this. But we've seen schools do it, and no one cares because it makes sense. But I think there's going to have to be a breaking point where the athletic departments realize this is really expensive, and we are, like, killing our kids. And so I think we could get there, but I think it's going to take them finding out the hard way that this is asking a lot of athletes and their pocketbooks as well. So, you know, anytime that there's a common sense suggestion in college sports, I'm afraid that we're not going to get there because there seems to be a shortage of that. But yeah, that's not happening soon, but I think that could be the finish line. I do believe that's a possibility.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. Let's hope some common sense filters in at some point. David Ubben from The Athletic, college football, national writer. Always appreciate it, my friend, and at least we do have football coming.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That's David Ubben from The Athletic. When we come back, we'll react to some of what David said, and we're getting specifically to Vanderbilt on this idea of what things may be coming down the road. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hey, folks, get out of the summer heat. Join us for craft brews, food, games, and entertainment at the 2023 Nashville Predators Craft Beer Festival. The fun begins this Friday from 6:30 to 10 p.m. at Bridgestone Arena. Proceeds benefit the Preds Foundation, which supports Middle Tennessee nonprofit groups and programs in the community. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The Game Studio is sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser producing, and Paul Kaharski in for Robbie.
I'm here thanks to Nashville Grass 365 Synthetic Turf. We're talking. Joe, I'm totally picturing the Rex Road estate with a bocce or croquet court in the backyard. Nashville Grass 365 could set that up for you if you just go to nashville.grass365.com.
You know, I express my appreciation for croquet and the movie Heathers, but bocce is a fun. Now, bocce is fun, man. I'd be down with either of those at the lush greenery of my estate.
Some people foolishly play it in sand, but I think it would be better on turf.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. Robbie Rexler, by the way, presented by TJ Anderson Homes, the Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Thank you to David Ubben from The Athletic, talking college football. We got Nate.
I worked with David Ubben once upon a time at ESPN.
That's right. We got Nate to talk a little college football / college sports. Nate, how you doing?
Morning, guys. What about the old school dangerous lawn darts?
Yes. I like some lawn darts.
You can't get them with a dart on them anymore. Now it's kind of a rounded end. It's more like a bob.
And doesn't it go like onto like a Velcro
mat
thing now? Yeah, that's too bad.
But you can probably play that. You can play that on turf.
Yeah.
But so y'all were gonna start talking about Vanderbilt, and I mean, I think what has to happen is the conferences, or at least I'm going to call them football conferences, have to stop caring about grades. And because, I mean, at least that's what they keep saying they care about when we start talking about Vanderbilt potentially being kicked out of the SEC.
Well, they're going to stop caring about grades is what we're saying the fear is. So for the longest time, the SEC has taken advantage of Vanderbilt by saying, absorbing their academics in their overall numbers. The Big Ten has taken advantage of Northwestern to a degree, though Northwestern's had its good moments, by absorbing their good academic numbers into their total numbers and getting a rise out of those numbers.
It's a prestige thing, too, just without right. separate from numbers. But yeah,
to say, look, we've got a great academic institution among us. But if it becomes all football and Vanderbilt is consistently not a contender, could the rest of them just say, screw it, we're all about football and we want you out? But that doesn't do much for me because it's not like Missouri's competitive on any kind of regular basis.
You can
basis
go Ole Miss,
either.
You can go Mississippi State, you can go through all these leagues, Rutgers, SIA, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you, Nate.
Yeah, but there aren't great schools to replace these schools with.
Well, no, but the whole thing is you're not the whole idea is, okay, gosh.
Are you boiling it down? Because what they're doing is adding.
Well, exactly.
Washington's not some perennial, they were in the playoff in 2016, but is Washington a perennial contender?
I mean, Washington is – a lot of this is also – it's audience too, right? I mean, it's Washington has a – like, what's the following? What value do you bring?
Well,
what
Rutgers value? Has no following.
Right. Rutgers is – we had actually a good piece – Scott Docterman and Stu Mandel wrote, like, one of the worst decisions of all of this was Jim Delaney adding Rutgers. But again, at the time, it was, now we got New York cable subscribers. And so at that point.
It's ridiculous. Nobody watches Rutgers.
But it doesn't matter.
New York, New Jersey area.
But it doesn't matter because at that time, as long as you have them, the Big Ten Network now, like, you've got people, whether they watch them or not, you don't care if they watch them. They are locked into the cable packages at that point. Now that's irrelevant, Moot. Right? Yeah, so it's a constantly changing thing. But yes, to answer your question, Paul, what it is you get to a point where, okay, we're all super bloated, way too many people, we're making this money, but if we lopped off those four programs, we all have the same money, and now we have fewer people to split it up. The sad thing about this to me, if it gets to that, and I mean, I've been saying when, not if, I'm not ready to commit to when. Gentry Esses and I were talking about this the other day at the Vandy scrimmage, and he wrote a column talking about this too. I mean, it's not a new idea. I think Andy Staples wrote about, like, soccer relegation a couple years ago, the comparison, make it like the Super League, all that stuff. The sad thing about that to me would be Vanderbilt, for example, has a world-class national championship baseball program. Vanderbilt has been at times very good in men's and women's basketball and tennis. I mean, a lot of these schools, you can go around and find excellent programs. This is why football just being pushed to the side as its own, call it whatever you want, is, to me, it's got to be part of the solution. Because, like, if Vanderbilt gets, for example, you had some lower league of the SEC or whatever you want to call it, does that mean now Vanderbilt can't compete for national championships in other sports? I mean, I don't see how the football part. I think Clark Lea is going to do well. I've been impressed with what he's done. It's a huge, very difficult job. They got a lot of things going. They actually have facilities that are not going to be embarrassing now. The stadium's going to be better. A lot of positive momentum. They have administration that cares and is actually supporting. That has not happened to Vanderbilt for a long time. But are they going to get to the point where they're competitive enough in football to be considered not cuttable?
Keepers.
It's hard.
Keepers.
Right. It's hard to imagine, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's weird that we're talking about trimming the fat at a time where everybody's adding.
But that's the thing. It's like you should. Vanini's column was very good. It was like,
yeah,
if you look at, okay, cause it's like the next thing. Then you get to, okay, and now what are you adding? You're taking the $60 million, but what are you adding? I mean, it's a natural thing to think about. I mean, it happens in a lot of industries, right? So I hate it. I don't want it to happen. I'm still holding out. Oh, the one thing I have, you mentioned, we were talking about academic prestige and everything. Look, the presidents still do make decisions. Yes, they are just being led by the nose by TV executives. But, like, there's a high emphasis on U.S. News and World Report rankings and academic prestige. Like, these presidents do want some semblance of appearance of academic emphasis, right? And so that's obviously the hope for a Vanderbilt, for Northwestern. Meanwhile, we're looking at Stanford and Cal right now, I guess, being courted by the ACC. I think Pete Thamel had that first.
How willing?
Which is just amazing to think of two Pacific Coast schools being in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Let's just make it all stupid. I love it.
How willing are you to betray somebody that's been a faithful member of your conference forever? It's one thing if they're going somewhere, but to kick them to the curb is another level, would be just another level of the ridiculousness of this and the cutthroatedness of this.
I totally agree. And it's, you know, I asked Clark Lee about this the other day, and one of the first things he says, you know, we're proud to be a charter member of the SEC. If I'm Vanderbilt, I'm going to mention that every chance I get. And he talked about Greg Sankey and his leadership. And no, I like right now, you know, Greg Sankey would, of course, say the right things on this program or wherever. But I still believe like Greg Sankey has those feelings too, in reality, authentically. Like, how do you actually then turn around and, yeah, he stabbed the other commissioners' backs when he took Texas and Oklahoma. But how do you stab
members,
these people that you've been working with so closely for so long?
And there'd be legal wrangling.
It's a great question.
There'd be some serious legal wrangling.
Yeah, it would be an absolute mess. But I'm telling you,
they'd wade into it.
One thing I absolutely believe is that the people who are actually making these decisions will have that idea. Like, yeah, they're taking a lot and they're not giving us much. Like, they will have the idea. Will anyone stand up and have integrity and do something that's not just about money?
Well, and the other thing, let's extrapolate out. The other thing you're talking about, Vanderbilt competing for national championships in these other sports, but these other sports are funded by that football money.
Yes. No doubt.
So it would have to change the whole dynamic of how Vanderbilt operates.
So then they suffer. So again,
well, Tim Corbin's getting his money from his people. But the tennis team that's competitive, the golf team, the bowling team, which we all have our own feelings about.
What's your feeling? They're national champs. What's your feeling about it?
I'm not big on intercollegiate bowling. But where their money comes from, they'd need a whole new pathway.
I mean, what you would do, you would suffer. You would fall behind. And it's just like, again, I'm looking at Stanford right now, probably the most excellence all
top
the way through,
bottom.
Yeah, we've seen, where's it going now? It's going the wrong way. Those Olympic swimmers are going, like, to an SEC school now. So, like, good for Tennessee, right? But it's sad to see. And, yes, that's a huge ramification of this. Speaking of Vanderbilt Northwestern, there is a Northwestern element I'd like to discuss next as it relates to a certain Tennessee Titan. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in for National Sounds Baseball today, 6:05 p.m., 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Indianapolis Indians, AAA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show. Joe Rex Show, Nick Keyser producing, Paul Kaharski in for new father Robert Stanley.
I'm sponsored by Nashville Grass 365. If your dogs are digging up the grass or rolling in the mud, consider a turf play area with superior drainage. Head to nashville.grass365.com for more information.
All right, I want to get into a question I have for you, Paul, related to Peter Skoronski and the Northwestern scandal. But first, a couple of quick reactions. One, I got a text, you know, great point that I think some people have made and should be reiterated. NCAA leadership right now, you know, there clearly is none. New president, Baker, I think he's more impressive than Emmert. I think he's an upgrade.
Hard not to be.
Yes. And this focus right now is like the NIL and, oh, the NIL, we need some limits and all this stuff. And meanwhile, the entire enterprise is just, you know, being just savaged. So it's a great example of how you lack the leadership at the top. Now, the NCAA is the schools, so it's those commissioners, presidents. Those are the leaders collectively. And they're all getting rich, but at the expense of a lot of things. Also, someone on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says, can the NFL just create a farm league like every other major sport? Colleges go back to being colleges, et cetera, et cetera. Here's the thing. So even if it got separated out, I mean, the power of college athletics is the guy wearing the Alabama sweatshirt, right? The tradition of the game day. I mean, the schools, you're not just going to have some minor league football league and think anyone will give a crap about ever watching it. It's the passion and the emotion and the generational fandom connected to these schools and programs.
And what's the NFL's interest in creating a farm league when somebody's doing
one.
It for them for free?
Exactly. They have one without having to invest anything. No. So, I mean, I understand the idea, but no. I mean, the college brands are incredibly valuable. All right, so I want to talk about the Peter Scott. So sometimes I invoke readers, PK, and I wrote a little mailbag that came out Monday in The Athletic, and I had someone asking me, you know, has anybody asked Skowronski? Why hasn't anybody asked Skowronski about, you know, Northwestern? I was like, well, actually, he was asked, and he said kind of what you would think. You know, he didn't say much. But the response I got to that, I just wanted to get your reaction to this, okay? And, of course, as I say this now, I've lost my place in the piece. So he says, I know – this is Tom H., okay, says, quote, I know I'll come across as overly concerned, but Skowronski's answer was about the worst answer he could have given. And for those who know, basically, for us, he said, I had a great college experience. I was surprised. It was a rough couple days, and he left it at that, right?
Surprised that Fitzgerald was
surprised, fine. Yeah. Okay, back to the comment. He's been relentlessly talked up as a high-character guy and then says, I love my time at Northwestern. When asked about the widely reported culture of, let's not beat around the bush, gross sexualized hazing, then says he was upset the coach who enabled it got let go. Not hard to connect the dots there. Hope I'm wrong, end quote. Now, I respond to him like I just disagree. So we're going to turn this into a character judgment, anybody who went through Northwestern. But what do you think? Like that scandal, do you look at everything that we know about it, and it's ugly. Do you take that and look at Peter Skowronski any differently?
It's in the back of my head.
Okay.
When you talk to him or think about him. But, you know, I wrote about him today and about his strength in a piece that I just tweeted out. What do you do? What do you do with it from here? You can't take it any further. We can't conduct an investigation of what Peter Skowronski did at Northwestern from Nashville. Not being sourced at Northwestern. I hope that the good work of the Northwestern student paper continues. I hope that Chicago-based people at The Athletic and at the Chicago papers pick up on it and do good work. And if more comes out about Skowronski's involvement or uninvolvement, certainly we would pick up on it. I'm sure he wouldn't say anything, but it would influence our perception of him and our approach with him. But I think our hands are kind of tied based on the information that we know. And he, going forward, is a key piece of the Titans. And so forward we go. Taylor Lewan was in a similar situation when he arrived with a nasty accusation.
His was his own thing, though.
Against him.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of ask him about it in the first round, get him on the record about it to hold him accountable for it, and then without charges that result in anything, he gets to go about his life as a member of the Tennessee Titans and create his life at his next stage. Is it in your head sometimes? Perhaps. And that's for you. I'm sorry I'm forgetting your name on the text line and I don't get to look at that screen. You're certainly welcome to have it paint your or color your vision. But I don't know what you would have us do. What would he have us do?
Well, it's actually Athletic reader Tom H.
Tom H.
But, well, first of all.
H, put your name on there.
Well, because that's how it is on the, you know, the commenters or first name and your last initial.
I don't like it.
Yeah. All right. Well. Anyway, first of all, let's distinguish the Skowronski has not been personally accused of anything. Lewan, that was actually another situation of a student paper doing good work, which was an alleged sexual assault from their former kicker, who was Lewan's friend. And she told she was unnamed in the story, but she told the student paper that Lewan called her and said, like, threatened her, right? So it was a very ugly story specific related to him. In this situation, Skowronski has not been
grouped.
Yeah. Now, look, first of all, I think I've read everything that you could read on this situation, and it's ugly, and it's great work by the people who have worked on this, especially, I mean, I feel, you know, the students. I mean, this is what this was going to be a little news dump and a little suspension, and they didn't take that for that, and it's fantastic journalism. And it's ugly, and couple things. One, like, let's not pretend this is completely isolated. What this is archaic. What this is, I believe, stuff that Pat Fitzgerald experienced some of this as a player. Also, I think some of it got out of control, and he, at the very least, the oversight was bad.
Poor.
And so, especially when you think about an offensive lineman, that's the specific group we're talking about, right? So I understand all that. I also...
That makes it seem unlikely that he wouldn't have, Peter wouldn't have been near it.
Sure. But it's also like, it's still individual different experiences. And based on everything we know, I mean, you say it's in the back of your head. Honestly, like, I'm not, it's just not in mind, really. I mean, until some new information comes out, like, I don't look at him like differently than I would have before I knew any of this information. Because I don't think this is as isolated as some want it to be, okay? I'm not saying it's widespread now. Again, this is like, this is 80s, 90s crap that's still
forgiveness with that.
No, I understand that. But you know, you're of my age. You understand. I mean, athletics used to be different, right? I mean, in a lot of ways. And I think some of these things they're just sort of things that needed to die away a long time ago. Didn't. All that said, it's also individual players, how they did things, how they dealt with things, and what they experienced can be widely different too, right? Even within the information we know. So, I think it's fair to bring it up for sure. And I'm not surprised. I mean, I think his answer was exactly what I expected it to be. You know,
as was Hassan Haskins, which to me is a bigger deal. Not that.
Right, that's his own conduct.
Yeah, and not that.
It's a criminal charge.
I don't know. I don't know where you go there. I mean, I'm not writing a lot about Hassan Haskins, but I think right now any mention of Hassan Haskins comes with, you know, Hassan Haskins, who's got a felony charge hanging over him, you know, and I don't know how you can look at that guy with the running back group and not think there's, you know, they're waiting on due process and probably at the end of the month, based on my experience with these court cases, stuff gets pushed back. I don't know that there's a verdict or something definitive. I mean,
there won't be a trial
on September 29th for Hassan Haskins.
I mean, there may be a plea agreement. That's possible. Sometimes the plea agreement happens around the time of the pretrial.
Right before that. But are they deciding about him purely on football at that point? When the cut day and the next stage of his legal process are back to back, I don't know, but it makes me wary. And I'm not going to say they've been nonchalant about it, but they've clearly decided to wait. How long do you wait?
Well, it's also, I mean, it's interesting that we talked about this earlier, but he's running back two on the depth chart, and he's getting reps that are, you know, that suggest valuable. That he's impressing, moving up, I would say, right? Do you look at it that way at all?
Yeah, I mean, I still think if I'm looking to give the ball to somebody other than Derrick Henry, I think he's getting Derrick Henry reps.
Yes.
Right? And so those reps, when it comes to games, are going to Derrick Henry, not to Hassan Haskins.
No, I agree, but I mean, look, before even take this out of it, honestly, I was underwhelmed by him last camp, and we didn't see a lot much of him that season.
He's a good special teams player.
Yeah.
Which has value, but not so much value that you keep a guy who, you know.
I mean, Henry and Spears are here, and I like Jonathan Ward.
I do, too, and he's more of the Spears type.
So how many are you keeping? And I thought that Hassan Haskins was not a lock before this.
No, agreed.
And then I mean, my 53 going in, which I know you love those 53s, I didn't have him on it. But
and was it influenced by the case?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, it's like, okay, well, if it's a tiebreaker and it's already close, then isn't that a factor?
Did you have Chestnut?
You know what? I don't remember now. Did
well,
I?
Did you?
I
you
think
had
I definitely had
four.
Ward. I had Ward. I think I did. I think I had Henry, Spears, Ward, and Chestnut.
I think you would have kept four.
Yeah. So, what do you think about that? I mean, I feel like Chestnut as
I don't
a
love
runner,
Chestnut or Haskins.
But you're probably going to have one of those or more a traditional backup to Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
right?
And Haskins
and
is a good special
backup
teamer.
To Spears. Yeah. So, anyway, we've been all over the place, but now we are going to focus in on Paul Kuharsky's rant. Coming up next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, Robbie.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
We're the Tennessee Oilers, gonna get all over you. We're the Tennessee Oilers.
Like Paul Kuharsky's unofficial theme song when he wants to have a little rant here on Robbie and Rex on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Nashville Grass 365 is kind enough to sponsor my time here. For a playground or high traffic area, their Sealed Turf Superior Synthetic Grass is a perfect solution. Just go to NashvilleGrass365.com to find more details. You ready for a rant?
I'm ready.
The NFL kind of just slipped into a revised personal conduct policy, and this is per Pro Football Talk, who monitors such things well, that, quote, all draft-eligible players who attend a scouting combine or pro day or otherwise make themselves available for employment in the NFL are covered by this policy. The league can retroactively now, according to the league, punish you, Joe, for any misbehavior you had before you came into the league. So Tyreek Hill, who punched his pregnant girlfriend in the belly, I'm not saying he shouldn't have been punished, but it seems to me weird that when he was not employed by the NFL and he did something criminal or seemingly criminal, I don't remember if he was officially charged or not, or a guy gets a DUI in college, coming into the league, he's now subject for suspension for something he did before he was connected to the league. That, to me, while I don't approve of these misbehaviors, seems just overreaching. The league is powerful, but the league does not own you before you are in the league. I just don't understand how they feel this reach. Okay, when you were a sophomore in college, you misbehaved. Now the Titans draft you, and we're going to suspend you for the first three games of your rookie year for something you did 2 years ago.
Yeah, like I get, like I think about, you think about something massive, okay? I mean, like a massive, massive criminal situation.
Jail time.
Yeah, that you didn't know about, and then you go back on, and it's a bad look for the league, I guess. So I mean, to the extent.
Hopefully,
of, like,
they're only applying it in those situations.
That's right. Like if it's something where it's like you look completely different at someone, and it's like, okay, so you got someone in your midst who has a, like, some whatever it may be, like a serious crime or right situation. Okay, I guess reserving the right to act in some way. I guess I get, but yeah, if it's going to get to the point of nitpicking things from your youth that aren't that big of a deal, then it's definitely overreaching. I mean, it's overreaching. I'm assuming it's there for the nuclear,
pre-league nuclear behavior.
Yeah, like, oh my God, okay, all of a sudden, let's just, I don't know why this came to a head, but let's go, like, let's say, like, Michael Vick's stuff all happened, like, you know, in college or high school or something, but it wasn't publicized. I'm trying to think of, like, that's a bad example, but you know what I mean? Like, something like that where it's like, it wasn't actually while, you know, it was in reality while he was in the NFL, right? But let's say that wasn't, then it gets uncovered. It was prior to that, it was at Virginia Tech or whatever. Well, there's a situation where it's like, oh my God, right? This is, you can't just say, well, happened before. I mean, you don't want to be, have to say, well, it happened before the NFL, so what are you going to do? You want to act on that, right?
Yeah. I was thinking of it more in terms of stuff that's known that already affects a guy's draft stock. That's a big consideration as to where,
like, the
he
Georgia
gets
situation.
Drafted.
You know, yes. Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, it's just, yeah, you once you're in the league and employed, then you are
subject
held
to
accountable to what, yeah, to what you're going to. I think we would agree on that.
Yeah.
We've solved this problem already in the rant. That's a very, That's a very tidy. That's a very It's a very effective rant. Real quick, since I just need to I need to respond. I want to get your thoughts on this. Okay. LD from McMinnville, who a lot of good conversation from LD on the text line, says, sounds like Joe doesn't like universities doing whatever to make more money, but last week was all for running backs getting as much money as they can. And I feel understand the pro versus amateur angle. My point, we understand it's about money, but I think you're costing yourself money eventually by taking this sport and all that it is and condensing it. Now, you know, you're going to have that condensed group is going to do very well, but I think you're hurting your product. College football and the product long term, I think, is hurt. If you're taking out big parts of this country and saying, yeah, you go, you know, you guys do whatever you want down there, this is Super League, I think that's bad for the product.
I think there's one benefit to the product. I hope that it does away with big schools playing Louisiana Lafayette and Elon and whoever else. I never want to see those games again, and I know you fully endorse these crap games.
And I
know it's part.
Is that right?
I know it's part of the broken system where those schools need to go take their beating in order to get their funding, which is a ridiculous part of the thing. But that fans get fired up to watch their school go win 59-0 is a broken part of the system to me.
I don't disagree. It's a tough. I go back and forth on it because it's like
no, don't go back. Just go forth.
Well, I have gone back and forth on it because I understand the paycheck that's so valuable for the program, but ultimately it's like you're asking asking people to pay to watch this, and it's not good. I think this
I have no problem with Louisiana Lafayette drifting off into some low level of football that doesn't involve them being on TV against Alabama on a September Saturday and me never having to hear about them. Yeah. I don't think anybody suffers for that.
Yeah, I understand. Luke says Joe Mixon he punched a woman at Oklahoma. He got suspended for in the NFL. Is that right?
I don't recall.
Okay. Dennis says, what about something like Peter Warrick shoplifting? Would the NFL suspend a player for something like that? He shoplifted Florida State. Is that right?
Yeah, it sounds familiar, and I think conceivably now they could.
Right. You could come back and do it. Jameis Winston had bigger. It should be like Jameis Winston and the crab legs.
Conceivably, they could.
Yeah. No, I agree. It is overreaching. I got to think it's like it's like insurance.
CYA.
Yeah, exactly. CYA. Gordon from Nashville says Jeff Simmons had to deal with stuff from his past. Well, he had to deal with it certainly when he got drafted. Yeah, and then also you tell me, Amy Adams Strunk, press conference appearance. Has she had one since then? But she appeared the day Jeffrey Simmons was introduced.
Is that the last one?
It may be. Now, she's spoken here and there, but I think
she did just fine there.
No.
She should be in front of the press twice a year.
Like last week, she was out signing, you know, autographs for the fans. So she's out. She likes to do stuff like that. Here and there. I think both you and I have talked to her here and there for things. I mean, one time I got her after a game and she's like, fine, talk. But like some owners, I mean, I remember William Clay Ford used to always make himself available after a Lions win, the rarities that they were. I think a little bit more of that would be good from her.
Well, I think she ducked it after firing Robinson, and I think the fans deserve to hear from her after that. And then she puts Vrabel in a difficult spot, where Vrabel is the face of the franchise discussing the firing of his boss. Yeah.
Well, there's no question that she should have talked after that. There is that was you can't duck after that, and she did. But when we come back, we are going to talk Titans offense. Paul Kaharski is wondering, how different might this offense be? Are we seeing signs it may be quite different? Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game.